Hey y'all, I'm Katie Ganaway, the host of this show, Arts Underground. Today on our newest installment of our series on local comedians, funny you should ask, we are joined by two dynamic members of the Fantastic Invaders. They are an improvisational comedy group who often perform at Shenanigans Comedy Theater in Huntsville, and they regularly collaborate with another improv group, Rocket City Improv, on some fantastic shows. Hello, Taylor.
Hi, Kish.
Hello, Ben Bowden.
Hey, Katie.
How are y'all?
Great. Yeah, doing well. Loving the cold weather that we've had recently.
Yeah, you are completely dressed for it. You have a beanie or a toboggan. Wait, settle that debate right now.
I would call it a beanie every day.
Okay, I would too. What about you?
Beanie. I would go with beanie. And beanie. I would add that Taylor is made for winter.
He's tailor-made.
Like every time I see him, I'm like, this Taylor is shining this season with his fashion attire.
Would you say he's glowing?
I would say he's glowing. I can tell you this. I don't know another person who can rock a scarf like Taylor Bush can.
I rock the quarter zips. I rock the scarves. I rock the beanies. I don't rock toboggans. I don't let those in.
First and foremost, what are your backgrounds in comedy? Like, how did you get interested in performing comedy?
So I started off in college. There was an improv troupe. I went to Mississippi State. The improv troupe at State, Lab Rats Comedy, performed on the top floor of the dorm that I lived in my freshman year. And I really spent my freshman year not doing anything, just like a total loser. But I saw one of their improv shows, and in the following year, I was like, well, I want to join a club or do something. So I auditioned just to do it, just to see. Didn't get in, but they offered free workshops. I started attending those. They were taught by a guy who I'm friends with, named Taylor Doherty, and he appealed to my like nerdy hyperfixation by giving me like book recommendations. So I was like studying to do improv, and I got into the troupe the next time that I auditioned, and I've been basically sticking with it ever since. That was back in 2015.
What do you feel like you learned from studying that you took with you and got you into the troupe eventually?
I mean, I think the biggest thing for me is just the mindset, because it was hard for me going in to feel at ease on stage, especially when you're first learning. There's a lot of like, you're learning rules, you're learning how to do characters, you're learning how to set up a scene, and all that is bumbling around in your head. And it's hard to actually like feel normal. Like you've got all these rules bouncing around. You're kind of like robotic on stage, trying to follow all of them. But there's a couple books. One is Truth and Comedy by Charno Halpern. That's like the big recommended one. But then the one that helped me the most was Process the Improviser's Journey, which is told from like a first person perspective of someone going through improv classes and like getting into that headspace and trying to like just focus on taking it easy on stage helped me the most.
Ben, how did you get into comedy?
Coming out of COVID, I had just turned 40, and I was like, I need to do...
You're 40?
I'm 40.
You do not look it.
Actually.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Well, thank
you. Next
year, you're
going to... Taylor's going to say he's like 87.
I'm right? Also 40, actually.
Yeah,
what?
No, you just turned 30.
Freshly 30.
Yeah.
Okay, y'all are messing with me. Okay, go ahead, Ben.
All right,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, so coming out of COVID, I knew that I needed to do something other than sit around and play video games, because I work from home most of the time.
Okay.
And so just too much time in the house. So I was either going to take some piano lessons or some kind of comedy classes or something, and the best option was, or really the only option I found, was classes at Shenanigans for improv. And they were being taught by Kim Wilson and Matt Carter at that time. So I just kind of did it, not with really any intention to perform, just to do something fun, meet some people, that kind of a thing. And I just kind of fell in love with it and wanted to do more and more and more and more.
And pretty, like a couple years in, like you actually went to Chicago to study improv, right?
I did. I've done the last two summers, I've done like a week-long intensive at The Annoyance. They have two levels of intensive, so I did both of those. And I'll go back this summer to the IO Theater and do their week-long intensive.
And you pick things up from there and kind of apply it to Fantastic Invaders.
Oh, for sure. You can't. Yeah, you're, you know, in class 6 hours a day, seeing shows at night, so you get a lot more than you can really retain in a week.
Right.
But yeah, definitely something stuck with me. Ideas for shows, ideas for exercises and practices, all kinds of stuff. If you're listening and you want to be a better improviser, highly recommend looking into those intensives that different places offer.
What would you say is like the number one thing you learned, you have learned so far in your studies?
I did not read all of Truth and Comedy. I got about a third of the way through it, and I was like,
it's a little dry.
This is pretty boring. I did read Improvise by Mick Napier. That was one that Matt Carter had recommended to me because he had gone through the Annoyance program when he lived in Chicago.
Yeah, Mick basically runs Annoyance.
Right? He does. He runs Annoyance. Yeah, he started it. Mick Napier was at Second City. He's done stuff at I.O., and then he started his own theater. And hopefully, if anyone important hears this, I didn't get any of that wrong, but... yeah, and the Annoyance is a little different. The thing that I picked up from them that kind of resonated with me was take care of yourself first, which is a little different philosophy. I mean, everything's getting to the same end goal where you're taking care of each other. But early on, that resonated with me, like give yourself something so that you're in a position to take care of other people instead of—
You do it on an airplane, why not in comedy?
Yeah, and that's the analogy that they use at the theater is put— your own oxygen mask on first.
Yeah.
Right. So that was the big thing early on that stuck with me. And I think that relaxed me and then allowed me to start having more fun and seeing what like Taylor or Paul or Matt or Kyle or whoever was doing and be a better improviser because they're better improvisers. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Individually and as a group, as the Fantastic Invaders, how did you develop your style of comedy?
We can say that like the Invaders is themed around like old B movies and stuff. like old, raggedy sci-fi movies. Mm. That's what it started off as.
That's what it started off as. It was sort of a common thread. We all liked that kind of stuff, and then we kind of had an intention to incorporate a lot of that into the shows. And we did for a while, but it sort of ran its course, and we wanted to do some different stuff, so we changed
Expand,
it up.
Expand, so to speak.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I think if we have any kind of style now, this is just going to be true of most improv troupes. It's just like the shared language and ideas that we have after performing with each other for several years. It's, I think, one of the most important parts of improv is just that, like, you find a group and you stick with them and you learn the ins and outs of each other's personal style and you learn how to bounce off each other in the moment. That's, I think, going to be the hallmark of each Invaders performance, which has, I think, only been getting better in stuff like our side chat shows.
Yeah, I agree. Each of the four of us has something a little different that we do, and then that's just... You know, that's the stew of all the ingredients coming together. And I probably play a little more physical than the other guys because that kind of loosens me up. And I like that. Paul and Taylor are super witty, super smart. So they're going to come in with something.
Very dramatic, too.
Yeah, very dramatic. Paul's a very good, like, actor. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can see that in his scenes where he's just being a good actor and it elevates a scene. Kyle's really good at characters and really going for, you know, the wacky voice or the silly character kind of thing. He'll take those risks. So just all, you know, the sum of all those parts is, I guess, what makes our style.
After each performance that you or Rocket City Improv or whoever have... You have sort of a review session of how it went and what you did right, what you could do to improve.
Yeah.
How does that go? Like, what's the format of that? Like, how do you stay respectful of each other but lift each other up in the same space?
Typically, it's something just like go through all the stuff you liked about the show, go through the stuff you didn't like. Usually if the show is very good or very bad, that's going to be apparent to everyone pretty quickly.
Do you have film footage?
We do have film footage.
Okay.
Ben puts them on a Google Drive.
I do.
Okay.
And I do go back and watch them, which is a surreal feeling.
Do you both watch the full thing?
I do.
I generally do, yeah.
Okay.
And a little...
What is that like? Is that very surreal?
It's kind of cringy. It's a little cringy to go back and watch it, especially when you know that you did something and you wish you'd made a different choice, right? And you're like, well, I'm going to go relive that moment again. And often... It's worse in my head than when I go back and watch it because I'm so self-centered. I'm generally only thinking about my own performance. But usually when I rewatch it, I'm like, you know what? That was all actually fine. Mm-hmm. That was pretty good. So,
yeah, if you do something and it doesn't work out the way that you hoped, and you don't get the audience reaction that you wanted, it can feel suffocating, and it really activates your fight or flight reflex. And then you go back and watch it, and you're like, oh, no, it was just a regular bummer. Just a normal thud. It wasn't like an apocalyptic failure.
A show is just a series of ups and downs, right? And it needs to be like that so that there's lower spots so that the higher spots hit harder. I think that's just the nature of improv in general, right?
So, Ben, you mentioned how you got involved with Shenanigans. Taylor, how did you get involved with Shenanigans?
So one of my friends, someone who joined the college improv troupe that I was in like the semester after I graduated, and I was still like going back to shows and supporting my friends, she moved to Huntsville and was in the stand-up scene. She met the owner of Shenanigans, Kimberly Wilson, through that. And around that time, they were starting up a show called The Maestro, which was an elimination format where the audience vote. The improvisers did scenes, and then the audience ranked those scenes, and the lowest-ranking improvisers would get knocked out. And I showed up and did one of those shows, and I was like, I can't think of anything more discouraging than getting eliminated in an audience vote-off format. So I showed up the first show, and I was like, if I don't get top three, I'm never coming back. I did get top three.
You probably won. Didn't you win?
No. Jalen won, actually.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He crushed it every
Jalen
day of the week.
Brown?
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah. Super funny.
I like him.
I think I was like second or third. But it was enough to where I was like, okay, I still got it, baby. I could stick with it. Because it had been like 3 years since I'd been on stage at that point.
Had it been that long?
Yeah, I actually tried to get into improv when I first moved to Huntsville in 2017. At the time, the only group performing was Comic Science, and they had just gone on hiatus, right when I moved in.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot more today than there was 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's cool to see the community grow and stuff. I don't remember exactly when it was, but I do remember I feel like Maestro was my first exposure to you and thinking like, oh, this guy's really fun to be on stage with. I want to do more of that.
Yeah.
Don't blush, Taylor. Come on. How do y'all measure success with improv?
I think, are you having fun? You know, that this is not a professional avenue. So if anyone thinks you can be a professional improviser, good luck. So it's really just
unless you like
fun.
Have a dream of landing yourself on SNL or something.
Yeah, it's probably a stepping stone on that journey if you're going for that kind of a thing. But yeah, I don't know. If I'm having fun, then it's successful. That's my metric.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest one. And also just like, are people showing up and showing out and supporting you? And I wasn't even here boots on the ground when the improv scene, quote unquote, was starting. But even then, I've seen it grow a lot in the time that I've been doing it, Shenanigans, which is really, really cool. And I guess like that would be like the more abstract success, like am I succeeding as a member of the improv scene? But personally, like on a show-to-show basis, it's just like you've been doing it long enough, you know if a show is electric or not.
Yeah.
And there are times when the audience will give you some good reactions and some good feedback, but you'll come away being like, I know I can do better than what I just did.
Yeah, I think we all have moments we like – you kind of talked about that desperate feeling when you feel like something's not landing and then you like panic and you go back to like bedroom or bathroom humor because it's a cheap laugh, but it never really feels good in those moments. There are times where I've seen it done like, you know, in an intelligent, elevated way, and that's much more satisfying.
Yeah, the philosopher's dick joke is really what you want to end with.
Pivoting right on to the next question. What would you say is your favorite show to perform in?
It's Side Chat every day of the week for me.
Of course.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
In the Black Box Theater
at
Shenanigans.
Baby.
Yes.
That's right. That room, it just feels good. You know, it's a lower ceiling. It's a smaller room. So just comedy in general usually
it's
feels better
intimate.
In those rooms. Yeah, exactly. You're closer to the crowd.
Does it feel better than being in the main stage where... Okay, Taylor's shaking his head yes.
Oh, yeah. It's more, you're closer to the crowd, so it's more intimate. And because it's a smaller space, each laugh, the power of it is magnified.
Yeah.
If you're on the main stage and you fill that space out, then it feels astonishing to get like a really good show going. But if you're not like max capacity, basically, then you can, that empty space really, you can feel it. At Side Chat. Like, we could have just our wives up there and still have a good time.
And we have done that before.
Yeah. Yeah. But like when you pack out the Black Box Theater, you feel like a superstar.
I've always wanted to ask a certain question about the Black Box. Okay. Because it's so intimate, you do have people like right up on the stage just about. Like, is it ever awkward when you are like, you have to stare at the back wall, or like, do you have a focal point that you try not to look at the audience, or do you feel better looking straight in their eyes?
I will look the audience in the eyes.
Okay, you are unafraid.
We also do a format called a weird ass where that kind of has a mockumentary format.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Where you'll pull up a chair and you'll act as if you're facing the camera, and I will mean mug some audience members in that moment. Just because and this is just another improv thing. Making eye contact with someone helps you immensely. It helps you see how they're reacting. It helps you kind of find out your own posture or something. And so being able to look at someone and make them really uncomfortable puts you in a headspace to do a weird monologue on stage.
That's a power move.
Yeah, that is true. I think it depends. Some of it depends on the show. If I'm in Whose Show, which is our—
Whose Show is it anyway?
Yeah, is the legally distinct version of a different show. Mm-hmm. We hope anyway. then sometimes there's more like kids at something like that. Mm-hmm. And so if I see somebody in the front, I'll like break the fourth wall a little bit more, kind of like they do on that other show. Mm-hmm. But if we're doing something that's more long form centric, like a plot twist show, then I don't really look at the audience as much because it's a little more.
And plot twist is kind of like you get a hallmark. Explain it a little bit.
There's a few different ones. We did a new one this year where we took plot summaries of like bad B movies and sci-fi movies for Halloween. But typically, the Christmas one is based on Hallmark Christmas movies.
Or
Valentine's that's coming up. That'll be based on those cheesy Valentine Hallmark type stuff. And
improvised
so,
totally from the synopsis of the movie.
That's right. That's right. So we're not trying to recreate the movie. We're just doing our version of scenes inspired by that.
Mm-hmm.
And often the summaries are as funny as the improv because they're so absurd.
So talk about what it's like to collaborate with other improvers. You have Rocket City Improv and The Graduates. Am I forgetting another one?
There's also the Shenanigans House cast.
Yes. At this point. What's it like to collaborate with other improvisers outside of Fantastic Invaders?
Here's my thing.
Hear me out.
Whenever I'm not on stage, I am usually like just sitting there waiting to go on stage. Like, I'm like, come on, get off.
A cattle in the chute or whatever.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've got the blinders on.
Yeah,
I'm like, I am ready to go up there and either kill or be killed.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't always enjoy other performances, but with some of the people that we perform with, like Rocket City, I am just sitting there being like, I wish that they weren't going because they are so on another level.
Okay.
And I want to be the star of the show.
Gotcha.
But it's always interesting, and you can maybe say some of this because you are in charge of stuff like the house cast and arranging stuff. Like,
oh, you are the leader, Ben.
Oh, I wouldn't say that I'm the leader because that implies one person. There's a team of us that do it together.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, for Fantastic Invaders, you're the leader, right?
No, I wouldn't even say that.
Okay.
I do more social media posts and record shows, but I wouldn't say that we have a defined leader. I think
no, it's not like a monolith.
It's just a group effort. Okay. Yeah.
Just anytime I'm watching anyone really, really, like I'm not doing a bit, it's invaluable to see their perspective on performance because everyone is bringing something unique to the stage that you can always learn from. And I think that's the most valuable thing. Even like The Graduates, which is the most of the people who are pretty fresh out of classes, like just the fact that they're coming out of classes and getting on stage and feeling out their own performance style, that's not a headspace that I've been in years, almost a decade. And being able to see how they navigate that kind of lights a fire in me, I would say. I'm like, man, I want to have this fervor.
Yeah.
It's like fever for improv.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, here's my thing.
Well, you heard me out. Now we're going to hear it out.
Similar to Taylor, sometimes I'm just, you know, I just want to be on stage performing, right? But It is, I can remember before Fantastic Invaders, I was playing with Rocket City a little bit, sort of an unofficial member. Mm-hmm. And in those days, I was still pretty young, and I would just watch them as a spectator, forgetting that I was part of the show. And be like, oh, crap, I got to get out and initiate a scene or something.
Like mesmerized?
Yeah, okay. Really just like mesmerized, because I'm like, oh, they're so good. Like, I am just struggling to keep up. And there are times where, particularly when Paul and Taylor are out there and they're both having a hot night, they have great two-person chemistry. I mean, I think we have great group chemistry, but yeah. I think the two of them, I've seen some scenes they've done and just like been in awe. It'll happen still. You just get drawn in because it's just so much fun to watch, and then you forget, like, oh, I've got to go do something too. So, but to your original question, sure. I like mixing it up because I like the chaos of it and like the discovery of like, well, I don't know how this person plays, but I'm going to throw some stuff out there and see if they take a swing at it, and we'll figure it out as we go.
I wonder what is in store for the Fantastic Invaders to come this year, and where do you see the group going in the long run?
Okay. Fill in what I miss here, Taylor. But we had been running a monthly show with us, but we decided to pull back from that after the next couple of shows get done. Okay. Just because we're all involved in the house cast at Shenanigans, and we've got side chat, and we actually... Shout out Justin Ledlow, that's right. We have some other projects, not directly associated with Fantastic Invaders, but most of us are doing it, that we wanted to free up some time for. So we're still here, and we'll still be at side chat month to month. But long-term goals for Invaders is really just to maintain that at the moment, I think. I don't think we have anything that we're really trying to do as the Invaders. As improvisers, we do, but...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep doing side chat is the big one. I think if there's anything on my plate, it's just to experiment a little bit more. I think with side chat and being in the Black Box Theater, there's a little bit more room to get a little bit more punk with it and mess around and throw stuff at the wall, because it's just like, it's a black box, baby. Do whatever you want.
I want y'all to talk about that. Like, what is punk about improv? I have my idea, but... I want to hear from y'all's perspective.
Punk about improv? Nothing. Punk about the black box?
Punk about performing improv in the black box. There you go. All right.
I don't know. It's something about the smaller space and the darker lighting just brings out something animalistic in me. It makes me want to get weird with it and like try new things.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's pretty loose show, and I think that there's a little, you know, punkish feel to that it's not quite as like polished and structured as some of the main stage stuff would be.
Like, whose show is really structured? Yeah. We even have a dress code. We're dressing up a little bit nicer. We've got Amy Mahoney vamping on the keys the whole time.
Yeah, man, shout out to Amy Mahoney. Amy Hoppy, Amy actually. Hoppy.
Yes.
that was hilarious, actually.
She is a baller, man. She is amazing. Yeah. So I don't want to jinx us, Taylor, but we did a workshop recently to start working towards improvised musicals. And several of the Invaders are in that, along with some other folks. Okay. And Amy absolutely crushed it. I mean, like,
astonishing.
Blew expectations out of the water. And so I hope she hears this, because I'm going to keep gassing her up as much as I can. But truly deserved. I mean, she's extremely talented.
And how can people find you if they want to follow where Fantastic Invaders will be next?
Instagram at Fantastic Invaders. Mm-hmm. And that is it.
Or Shenanigans, I guess.
Or Shenanigans, yes. Yeah. Our shows will be posted on HuntsvilleLaughs.com there.
I have ending questions for everybody who comes on the series.
Okay.
And this is for both of you.
Okay.
First off, we
should answer simultaneously at the same
you
time.
You have to. It is a requirement, because there are two of you. Okay. No. you can take turns. The first one is, do you have any hidden talents or unique hobbies?
Unique hobbies. I write adventures for tabletop RPGs.
Okay, cool.
So in like the Dungeons and Dragons sphere, although usually more on like the indie side of that. And I run games a lot as well.
By no means am I an expert at this, but I do some woodworking. So I've made furniture for folks.
I'm not surprised.
It's on brand.
Yeah. It is.
Is that Carhartt you're wearing?
No, this is. I'm not giving any free plugs to any merchandisers. You better send me that swag if you want to mention on the radio.
Right.
But no, it's not.
Right.
So, yeah, I guess that's a pseudo talent that I have. Yeah.
What do you like to make?
I like to make tables. Tables are fun.
Do you sell the tables?
I have sold one table, yes,
okay.
For a friend. Yeah.
How many tables do you have, like, littering your workshop?
Oh, not many. I do have a lot of just raw wood that I had to go through and make some cuts this year because it had been sitting there
some
too long.
Cuts.
Oh,
but
nice.
Okay.
Pun not intended, but appreciated.
The second question here is, what is your favorite corny joke? Like a popsicle stick joke, a dad joke, something like that.
Oh,
Laughing
go ahead,
Kathy.
Tyler. I've got mine.
All right, Katie.
Yes. Taylor.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
To.
To who?
To whom?
Oh, God.
That's so on brand for Taylor.
That's so hipster. Well, it's not hipster. It's grammatically correct.
That's
but
great.
Yeah. Okay.
Mine goes back to my love of Jim Varney as a child.
Oh, my heart. Okay.
And I don't remember which Ernest movie it's in, but I know he does one where he goes, something like a dog walks into a bar and I'm looking for the guy who shot my paw. It's so bad, but it makes me laugh because it reminds me of Jim.
Have y'all ever seen the video of him and Robin Williams just riffing?
No, like, oh my gosh, that's on my to-dos today.
I'll have
then
to send
for
that
sure.
to y'all. That's amazing.
Yeah, this world is long overdue for a Jim Varney biopic.
Yes.
So I hope someone's working on that.
Who would play Jim Varney?
Somebody with a rubber face, because that dude could. Jim Carrey could do it. For sure.
Ooh, I would love to see that.
I would love to see that.
Yeah. Who makes you laugh the most in your life?
Probably myself. No, I'm just kidding.
People have said that.
No, that's not true. man, it's hard for me to pick one person. I mean, my wife is pretty funny. She does make me laugh consistently on the day-to-day. So I'm going to go with that answer.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm legally obligated to say my wife, but on stage, Matt Carter's a pretty good improviser.
Yeah,
real funny guy.
He's a real professional.
It's a toss-up for me, probably between, if we're going with people we perform with, between Taylor, Paul, and Matt. Those and
like a
not
band.
To discredit
it Taylor,
does
Paul, and Matt.
Not
and
to
Peter,
discredit
Paul,
anyone else. Everyone that
well,
we
Peter just died. I think.
just Paul and Mary.
Who was
baby.
It Paul? Oh my God, I'm so terrible.
Could
go on, Ben.
Mary.
I'm so sorry.
Oh no, you're fine. Yeah, I just. Didn't want to discount anyone else's performance because they're all very funny, but I do find myself laughing a lot at those guys. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Not with them, at them.
Mm-hmm. At them, yes, that's true. But yeah, if I were going to pick one person, I'd probably say Matt Carter as well.
Okay. And do you have any final thoughts before we go? Any shows to plug?
Well, I'll just say Side Chat is the second Thursday of the month every month. And I believe that's really the only exclusive long-form show in town that you can see. Very much like kind of Chicago style, and there's probably someone rolling their eyes at that phrase somewhere, but it is.
Probably Matt Carter.
yeah, probably. But it's three troops, all long form, and second half's all long form, so that's the one I would plug the most.
Also, if you are interested in improv and want to get involved, Shenanigans does offer classes. I think their level one class is sold out.
Right it is
now.
Sold out, yeah.
But
yeah.
You can probably get on – is there an email list or some way they can contact?
Yeah, I believe the website has been updated to, like, if you're interested, enter your info and you'll be notified if there's additional classes posted.
Well, thank you so much, Taylor and Ben.
Thanks for having us, Katie.
It was so fun.